This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
All right, folks, here we are, MGO Blog Roundtable.
And yeah, this is one that is unfortunately familiar.
That's fine.
Talking about a loss to Ohio State, and this time, one where I think this Ohio State team might be the best one we've seen since their championship year. Possibly. So I don't want to get in.
Definitely.
You think definitely?
Yeah.
I want to start out the commentary sort of acknowledging that yeah. Look, you're just talking about a superior team. They're deeper. They're more talented. All that. And at the same time, I just feel like when you play any team, you don't want to help them. When you play a team like this, you damn sure can't help them. If you do, you get blown out like Michigan got blown out last Saturday. Brian Cook, good morning. How are you? Exactly. Craig Ross, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I was thinking there's this, one of my favorite quotes is from Bette Midler. When I think she said, I think it's her, she said, in London, it's always 1939. Which is a quote I like very much, and I think
this is like really really obscure. So where
in Ann Arbor it's always 24-12.
Okay,
except it isn't.
Well, but it is. I mean, at least for those of us who are around then. I know you weren't, but for those around in London, it was always 1939, and for those who were around for the 1969 game, it's always 24-12.
What movie was this, or was she in concert? Or something?
I don't know where it was. I think she just said it.
Okay.
And I just
What about those years that Michigan beat those epic John Cooper teams in the late 90s? Was it there? Was it 24-12 then too?
It's always 24-12 in Ann Arbor. It's always 1939 in London.
That other voice you hear is Ed Fang from the Power Rank. Ed, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. I actually got a really good night's sleep last night, and it's amazing how that will make you feel in the middle of football season.
Yeah, I wish that was possible for me.
Sometimes
sleep and football season don't go together. Sleep and just work in general don't go together.
Because you had a long deal with
Yeah, man. We it was the longest film session. Because as I watched it live, and I'm curious what you guys thought. I was watching it live and I felt like I was watching Wisconsin all over again. But watching Wisconsin live though, I remember thinking they're getting blown off the football. Watched the tape and said, man, there were egregious errors in discipline. They were just, it was the most undisciplined game I had seen a Michigan defense play in some time. This one trumps that.
Yeah,
This one trumps that.
Not everything about this felt undisciplined. I mean, the students don't show up and then they leave early.
I can't blame him for that anymore.
Well, the fans who aren't students sell their tickets to Ohio State people. There's 25,000, I would guess, Ohio State fans there. The team played undisciplined, and even the marching band, they came out and played a really nice rendition of "Has Anybody Seen My Gal" from 1923, which is what? And so I'm thinking next year they'll come out and do the Lennon Sisters as conducted by Pitbull doing a stirring rendition of "Down by the Old Mill Stream" or something like that, guaranteed.
If you understood that reference, please call in so that we know somebody got it.
I'm glad about it because I
you guys don't know the Lennon Sisters.
Look, I hear musical references on this show all the time that I'm just clueless about, and so I'm glad I'm not the only.
I knew who Bette Midler was.
I knew Bette Midler was.
So that was good, right? Wasn't that good?
Yeah. And in any event, everything was disappointing. Everything felt undisciplined. But Brian wants to jump in on this, I assume.
Do I?
I don't know.
See, that's what I appreciate about you guys. I'm bringing some, make me laugh
all right
this week.
So
I appreciate that.
you know, you get to halftime, you're down 12, and that's game over. Because you played as well as you could, and then you screwed it up a bunch of times, and then your period of potential advantage is done, and you're behind 12 points. So I think, you know, there were really four kind of key sequences. One, Shea Patterson gets two called runs.
And they were there.
And they were there, and he doesn't cut up behind his blocking.
Yep. Goes outside.
And then
he
fumbles the ensuing snap. Mm-hmm. That should have been a touchdown. You get the offsides on the punt.
You had actually gotten a stop after the fumble.
Right.
You're going to get the ball back.
And then you have two different long yardage situations. You have a second and 19. You have a third and 14 where you just fail to cover a drag route. And then everybody else goes deep. This is probably something Ohio State saw on tape. But the fact that there's literally nobody within 10 yards of either of those guys, I mean, that's ballgame. It didn't feel as much. I mean, part of it did feel like the Wisconsin game because the defensive tackles absolutely couldn't hold up. And then the rest of the defense kind of goes into panic mode because their defensive tackles are getting obliterated. but kind of overall, it felt more like the Penn State game against a better team. Where, you know, the Penn State game, Michigan loses by 7 largely because they shoot themselves in the foot the whole game. Like, Penn State had absolutely nothing to do with that win. They got outgained by 200 yards. They got nothing in the second half. Michigan drops passes. They go off sides a bunch. They have false starts. They killed themselves in that game. Mm-hmm. And they killed themselves in this game.
Yeah,
and so they got a lot of talent. They can put some stuff together. But it kind of just kind of feels like 5 years into the Harbaugh era, this sort of lack of discipline and organization is characteristic. And Ohio State doesn't have that.
So here's the part for me, and I guess I didn't draw the parallel to Penn State. I'd have to, you know, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I immediately thought of Wisconsin.
I mean, you're not wrong, but...
Because, watching some of your most veteran guys, I think that's what got me in this game. Like, you know, I could see... You talk about defensive tackles. So I understand when Chris Hinton steps wrong and completely takes himself out of a gap and leads to a touchdown. I get how that happens with a young guy. But when you have your older guys making similar mistakes, I call that uncharacteristic is because we've seen those guys playing much better football.
But it is characteristic. In the Wisconsin game, Michigan didn't set an edge, and John Taylor had the easiest touchdown of his career.
He did. But it felt like, at least to me, it felt like they had not repeated that. They had not repeated that Wisconsin-like performance until this game.
Well, they also hadn't played anyone on that level either.
But that can make it true. True. So it could just be the case that they made the mistakes and they didn't pay for them as greatly because they weren't facing that caliber of opponent. So that could be the case, but it certainly didn't feel like they were making the kind of fundamental errors that we saw them make in this game.
I disagree slightly with Brian that the game was over at the half. I mean, the game gets to 27-42, and we have the 4th-and-1 at around our own 30, and we go into the Hascat. Now I'm screaming in the stands saying, why are we in this? But as it turns out, it's a brilliantly executed play because Bredesen pulls, and there's a hole that I would get a first down on. And my guess is Haskins, if he follows Bredesen, gets 30 to plus or a touchdown even. There's no one there. There's no safety there. There's no one there at all. And he runs, for some reason, back to the left.
Because he had done it. He had scored a touchdown doing that earlier in the game.
Yeah.
The difference was on the play where he cut back, where he broke away from the pin and pull the time before, was the pin didn't happen.
Yeah.
So he didn't have – he couldn't follow his puller that time. He had to cut it back.
Right.
And he wound up cutting back behind Mason and scores a touchdown.
Right.
And then this time, he goes back to the well, but it's not necessary to do so. Because the pin happens, the puller you can follow, and like you said, if he follows him, it's daylight.
It could be a touchdown.
But that's just another mistake.
Yeah, I mean, so like, I agree. It's another
if
mistake.
They were a completely different team that didn't make a ton of mistakes, sure, it's not
they
over
wouldn't
at
be,
halftime.
They wouldn't be the team that
but
they
the reason
were.
That they're yeah. down 12 at halftime is because they are undisciplined and they make all these mistakes. And in contrast, Ohio State has a quarterback who talks about the campus where he is nominally attending like it's a foreign city he'd like to visit, like it's Prague or something. Because that's all he does. He just goes into the building and he does football stuff all day, every day. And so that's why they're a better football program. And increasingly, it feels like Michigan's dedication to anything other than winning the Ohio State game is just pure sap behavior. Like they're saps because they are not dedicated to winning this game.
I think, look, when you win, you can talk a lot of crap.
No, it's absolutely true. Michigan doesn't take this rivalry as seriously as Ohio State. And you see the results on the field.
That's what Ohio – actually, a couple of the Ohio State players said that.
I know
that.
What they say.
That's true.
Michigan thinks it's taking it seriously. They have no idea.
So what is taking it seriously? You know, kind of quantify that for me. How do you quantify
doing absolutely
it
nothing
seriously?
Every day, all day.
Except football.
Except football to win this game.
Is that what you – are you advocating for that?
I don't know. But that's what Ohio State does. And unless Michigan does that, they'll never regain parity in this rivalry. Ever.
You know, I haven't thought about it that way. But wait a minute. Think about some of the things we just talked about. I mean, and some of the mistakes Michigan made. And, you know, this game was as much, I think, intellectual as it was physical in terms of the mistakes made. And maybe if you breathe football day and night, Haskins, who had a great game and a great season, incidentally,
I love him,
but you know, maybe he doesn't make that particular mistake.
Would you have ever said last year through 11 games, Ohio State breathes football every day and they make no mistakes? That's far from the truth. They had an offensive line that couldn't run block. They had a defense that was making mistakes up the wall.
Points on
it was one game last year.
I guess for me, where I kind of disagree.
I mean, I'm not saying that they can't win a game, but like you want to get to 50-50 against these guys. I mean, forget it.
You know, I think we need to sort of distinguish between some of the kinds of errors that we're talking about. There were the errors where you just blow a coverage. You know, you think you see something that mm-hmm. you didn't see, right? Like, so on the third and 14, I think on that play, Cam McGrone thinks the guy is running a rail route. Like, he's going downfield. So he's going to try to bust it and get J.K. Dobbins over the top. But guess what? He runs into his own guy. And J.K. Yeah. Dobbins isn't running a rail or a wheel. He's cutting back inside. All right, so that's a guy having a bust. That's one kind of error.
Right.
But the other kinds of errors where, a three-tech comes off the ball, doesn't touch the guard, and allows him free shots at his linebacker, and that happens time after time, or a guy, you know, it's a red zone situation, and he slants and comes off the ball and just – thinks he's out of a play and the ball runs right by him. Those are different kinds of errors to me.
But doesn't that support Brian's point? I mean, it supports Brian's point that
how does living football change those kinds of errors?
They've learned how to dribble a football.
I guess my point is I could see how being football all day could prevent a bust in coverage because you have a recognition out there of what they're trying to do. I get that one, but touching the guard.
I don't understand why that's not just the same thing.
Because I think that's just not having the level of focus that you need to have.
Okay, that's
in a game. That's okay. that I don't think that's a repetition thing. I do think there's a mental thing to the Ohio State rivalry for this team. Now, and that's just speculation on my part. That's not talking to anyone. But it's the only way that I can explain seeing guys who have played much better football than they played last Saturday make some of the errors,
If they didn't lose the Penn State game in the exact same way, I'd agree with you. They lost the Penn State game in the exact same way. Well, every year you come into one of these games and Michigan just falls apart. So whatever the reason is, I'd rather talk about basketball.
you guys got anything you want to that you want to ask?
Yeah,
from
the- I do. I mean, well, maybe Ed does. Go. I mean, if Ed, you want to go first, but yeah, I've got some things to say.
I don't know. I mean, I think college football is hard. There's a lot of coaches that are trying to get to the level of where the top teams are. You know, unfortunately, we've seen programs like LSU and Ohio State take that leap there. But there's more coaches than not that are trying to get there. Kirby Smart's of the world, James Franklin's, Jimbo Fisher, who has a really good team despite five losses. It's hard. Harbaugh hasn't done it yet. I don't know if he will. I think there's a chance that he will. But obviously, it's not where the program wants to be at this point in the fifth year of his tenure. But that doesn't make the job any easier. And there's a lot of guys trying to get to that level.
Yeah, I mean, my positive thought was Michigan really, from an offensive game planning point of view, really called and constructed a terrific offense. I mean, they did a lot of good stuff offensively in this game. And a lot of, you know, as Brian pointed out, the one fumble was preceded by two calls that were good plays, well executed, and Michigan scores a touchdown there if Shea manages to read his blocking right. You know, you have Haskins, who I think that play could have been a touchdown too. You've got in the first half we lost two drives on pass interference calls that just weren't called, and they were good plays, and we just didn't get the calls on those. So if you look at the offense in this game, it was really good and really creative, and it beat up really in a lot of ways a defense that was pretty good, and that was with not really having much of a run game. So to me, I come out of it thinking these guys knew what they were doing, and you know, hopefully with some continuity on the offensive side, we know what we're doing next year too. And it was heartening in that at the beginning of the year just seemed like, what are we doing?
Right.
And as the season went along, by the middle of the season, certainly by the second half of the Penn State game, I felt like, okay, you know, these guys do know what they're doing. They're creating an offense that sort of fits to our pieces. And if so I'm optimistic about the offense next year. The defense, I don't know. Don't know.
And one more positive, we ended the Chase Young Heisman campaign.
I think the two-game suspension probably did that, don't you?
Well, I mean, if he comes out with four sacks in this game, he's probably back in the conversation.
Yeah, but he didn't. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was going to win the Heisman, but I mean,
he missed Maryland and Rutgers, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's like...
Well, I mean, but just two stat games that put you over... You know, you get over 20 sacks, you get in Terrell Suggs' range, all-time sack record, you need to do something spectacular to win it as a defensive guy.
Sure.
So you need that.
But he didn't add that.
Rutgers and Maryland would have put him, I think, in that. Right.
But,
place.
I mean, he got on the radar because he had four sacks against Wisconsin. I think he would have been on the radar again had he had a similar game.
Yeah. What an interesting conversation to have.
Positives, Brian. You have to look for...
We've got to look for some kind of positives.
Positives.
There were a lot of negatives.
Heisman chances of Chase Young.
Did
we win three games in the Bahamas or not? Come on, go to commercial. Let's go.
We got basketball.
We're going to talk some basketball.
For sure. And so I guess now, as you look ahead to next year, to your point, you start out and you figure they're going to be ahead of where they were at the beginning of this year, even with a new quarterback.
I would hope so. And, you know, and a lot of people in and around the program have told me they think McCaffrey is as good as Shea or better.
Can he throw the ball as well as Shea?
That people around the program have told me that.
Okay.
So, you know, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what they believe. And they had no reason to tell me some story. So I'm optimistic about that. I think Joe Milton has great potential. You know what? We'll see. And so, I think our running backs will be good. I think Haskins is terrific. I think Charbonnet is terrific. And I think we're going to have good wide receivers.
Yeah, what's our receiving core going to look like?
I think it might not look much different.
Yeah, I think the guys, you know, Nico would be the one to go.
Yeah.
And I've heard that might not even happen. So.
And you got Cornelius Johnson, who I think is going to be a very good wide receiver at Michigan. You've got slot guys who are both good. And I think Ruiz will probably be back. I think they're offensive tackles. You got to replace guards. and the guards were good, so that's something. But it seems to me they should hit the ground next year with a much more sort of cohesive offensive view than they sort of hit the ground with this year. And that's good. Defense, I just don't know. You know, there's rumors, again, true or not, that Don Brown is looking for a head coaching job elsewhere.
Well, he looked for one last year. He tried to get the Temple job. Yeah. I mean, obviously Boston College, him having worked there would be, you know, if they came calling, I think he would definitely answer the question is, will they?
Yeah, I don't know if they will. And, you know, and I'm not down on Don Brown. I just, you know, sometimes I wonder if we should play, given the level of ability we have, we should look more like, say, Iowa.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, how much better will some of this young talent be? You know, how much better will McGrone and Dax be?
Yeah.
You know, Chris Hinton, we saw a little bit of Chris Hinton this season, a lot in the last game. You know, how much better will they be with the young guys in the defensive tackle ranks? And then you got to hope that your defensive ends take another step. I think, you know, Aiden Hutchinson
and Quiddy
had a really good year. We'll see if Quiddy can take another step and, you know, try it again. Right. Hey. That's all you can do.
In Ann Arbor, it's always 24 to 12.
I like that outlook, Craig, for sure. No, man, I guess that's just me. I know that, you know, it's if we got it tomorrow, I'm going to look forward to it. Just kind of how I am. So at any rate, we need.
Can I throw one more thing?
Sure.
So Bill Connelly had a nice article where he talking about Harbaugh, where he talked about, I think Tom Osborne lost some absurd fraction of his first couple games to Oklahoma before Nebraska became a power. So
it can happen.
I know it doesn't seem likely,
as,
but it can happen.
Jason Robard said in 1,000 Clowns, you never can tell what will happen underneath an abandoned Chinese restaurant. And and for anyone who's ever seen the movie, they'll know what that means.
Dude, Craig, I don't have enough hours in my week to catch up on all your references.
All right. Yeah, you know, the esoteric
what do you do
nature,
with your time?
The esoteric nature of Craig.
I know the Lennon sisters. I'm stuck on that one.
I have an actual job. I have two actual jobs aside from this.
All right.
You need some kids.
I don't have those.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. We're live here inside the MDN studio. So switching gears, going over to basketball.
Hooray.
Michigan won the battle for Atlantis.
You know, the worst thing about that is they don't give you a trident. How do you not get a trident? Like, isn't that the biggest layup ever? Giant trident.
What is so good about a trident?
Tridents are awesome for one.
Why?
Because you can poke people with them. They're like,
you get that opportunity every week.
Have you seen the trophy they gave us? It's like got some plexiglass or something. I don't
pretty
know
generic.
What it is.
It's pretty generic.
Yeah. And it's like, you're the battle for Atlantis. I want Poseidon's trident. Let's go. I'll go to that tournament again, even though I know that at some point someone's going to tear their ACL slipping on the floor if they give
him
a trident.
That is an abomination, because that was the same the last 2 years on that floor, and I thought they were going to do something to fix it, but it's a ballroom, I guess. It's not a basketball venue, of course.
Correct.
I'm not sure why it's always wet, but I mean, people are going. You're right. Someone's going to get hurt on that floor,
yeah.
Unless
Juwan Howard is around. He's around.
That was so cool. Congratulations.
I was like, yeah, who's
Juwan?
That tall dude mopping the. Oh, wait, that's Coach.
Yeah. I think someone told him not to do it, because then there were many other opportunities for him to get down and mop the floor up. So that, and then his speech at the end of the tournament, I think, established him as a dude.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, I'm sorry.
He's a mensch is the mensch. Technical term.
Yeah, he is a mensch, and I think I even said that when my one conversation with him many years ago in Amaker's office, I came away thinking this guy is a real person. He's a mensch, and so his demeanor on the sidelines is terrific. He's gracious. He has a lot of the elements that you saw. I don't know if you saw the Tony Bennett get clobbered last night by
Purdue. I saw that score.
And Tony Bennett after the game was awesome. I mean, he was what you would want. He was the anti-Izzo. How you would want to see a coach behave who's just got killed after a game.
Speaking of teams that got spanked.
Yeah, and
Michigan State.
And I would say the same for Matt Painter, who is, you know, learned from his predecessor that it never hurts to give credit to the other team. And I think we all give credit to Ohio State today as a better team and a team that deserves what they've got.
I was watching another, like, the fifth place game in Atlantis or whatever.
Which game was that?
I don't remember.
You don't even remember the team? So
the important point is not...
Are you drinking Sterno?
No, Brian's got kids. He's got young kids, Craig.
I have a point here that I think will resolve this thing. At halftime of this game, they played the entirety of Juwan Howard's post-victory speech again, which felt really strange to me. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
That is odd.
So that's why I don't remember what teams, because I watched a lot of basketball games. I don't remember which one this happened in. So I feel like that'll help for recruiting. And then, of course, they win three games against probably three tournament teams, depending on where Iowa State actually ends up in the Big 12 this year.
Well, I mean, they have the next coming of Michael Jordan on their squad. Hadn't you heard? Tyrese Haliburton.
I mean... Sure.
Is going to be Naismith Player of the Year.
I thought he was better than Cole Anthony. Much better court vision.
Honestly, he has a better supporting cast than Cole Anthony. I don't want to get too down on what Michigan accomplished in Atlantis, but Carolina does not look like
good number 16 in the country.
Carolina got beat at home last night badly by Ohio State. Now, their only big guy of consequence was named the freshman Bacot.
No, and they have Garrison Brooks too.
Brooks is good.
I don't know if Brooks even played last night.
He did.
Okay, but Bacot went down and might be hurt fairly badly. I don't know from that injury. So, yeah, Carolina's not a good team.
They're playing that grad transfer we were after 20 minutes ago.
Pierce,
And would Michigan be playing that guy 20 minutes again?
No.
We thought Carolina was terrible this point last year, too. They turned out to be a pretty decent team. So I wouldn't give up on North Carolina yet. I think that win's going to look
good. I think there's a
good.
Very big difference between last year's North Carolina that had Kobe White, that had Nasir Little, that had...
Little didn't do anything.
The hairy guy. Who's the hairy guy?
They had Cam Johnson,
the guy
that could hit all the...
Cousin It?
What's the guy? The hairy guy.
Got eyebrows.
Come on, I gotta look at.
All right. So they had eyebrows, guy.
We all have eyebrows.
They had the Pitt transfer. They had a lot of dudes on that team.
Yeah.
And they're
Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson's good.
Yeah. So they had all those guys. They had a really deep team. They were good.
And some veterans.
And this team is. I mean, they're playing two grad transfers, 20 minutes a game. One's from Charlotte. One's from William and Mary. They have Cole Anthony, but then like Leaky Black is playing, and he's got like 13% usage. They have Brooks, who's just a guy at center, like they're headed for a 500 ACC season. So they're going to be a 7 seed. They're going to be a 10 seed.
I don't know about that.
I mean, if you'd watched them play Ohio State,
but Ohio State's
Craig
good.
Craig thinks Ohio State's good.
Ohio State is
as good as anybody.
But
I
like,
think.
Was there a point at which they were going to get back in this game if Cole Anthony didn't hit a lot of bad contested threes? No.
But I mean, you got to talk about the national
Luke
picture.
May. Why couldn't I remember Luke May's name?
Not Luke May.
Oh, they had Luke May last year.
Yeah, they did.
Well, there's a different May that played for Carolina that I'm thinking.
Sean May.
That's wild. He's a champion.
So, Luke May. So they had all those guys, and they don't have any of them this year, and they're in a bit of a roster hole. But it's still Michigan comprehensively dismantled those guys.
It was 60-34. Yeah. 10 minutes.
And then you come off these three games in the Bahamas, you go down to Louisville, and the result of that game doesn't really bother me that much because that's a schedule loss.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And if you look at what Louisville's played so far this year, they played like three fringe top 100 teams and three really bad teams. Michigan is really the first real test of their season. So what have they been doing for the past month and a half whenever they play like a 300-rated team?
Preparing for Michigan.
Prepping for Michigan. And I watched their Akron game, and they were nowhere near as locked in on defense against Akron as they were against Michigan. And I mean, all credit to them. That makes a whole lot of sense. But Michigan obviously didn't have that luxury with the three games in 3 days against quality opponents before that.
Well, and Michigan played great on the defensive side of the ball down there. They just couldn't get it together.
Yeah, they
on
actually
offense.
Held Louisville to fewer points per possession than either UNC or Gonzaga. So that part of what Michigan was doing was still great. And if they maintain that level of defense against good teams, which I think they will, they're going to win a lot of games.
But there is a cloud there. I agree. I mean, we've moved up, I think, in KenPom defensive ratings to number 8 or 9, someplace in there. So, I mean, it's not much different than where we were last year, and we've played some pretty good teams so far. Our schedule, I think, is either the first or second strongest schedule in the top 75 teams in the country. And but my concern, the cloud is that teams are going to look at that Louisville tape and decide the way to play Michigan is the hard hedge off the high ball screens and double team X, which is what Louisville did, and we never got into an offense out of that. So that's something Michigan's going to have to solve, because you're going to see other teams starting to do
that. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, because after halftime, Michigan's offense looked a lot better.
Yeah.
And then you saw the heavy legs come into it. Like, they got a lot of open looks from three in the second half, and they hit one of them. Like, Franz hit one, and then the rest of it was like, what were they, like 2 for 19 or something?
I think they were 3 for 19 in the game from 3. That's true. We just shot it badly. On the other hand, I felt like we had a hard time getting good looks, and I thought that extended through most of the game, although you're right, it was a little better in the second half.
It was a lot better.
The offensive fingerprint of this team is fascinating, because they excel at shooting the ball.
Okay.
So I actually do look at 2-point field goal percentage and adjust for who you played.
Okay.
9th in the nation, 21st in 3-point shooting. They're below average in the other four factors: offensive rebounding, getting fouled, and turnovers.
Turnovers has been a problem.
That's a very odd offensive fingerprint. But you can see it, right? Because they're aggressive with their ball movement. You're seeing Xavier like try to make these passes, and he's making a lot of them, and he's turning over a lot of balls as well. It's just a fascinating team right now.
I don't necessarily think that the four factors are particularly unusual, because a lot of teams that have good offenses have poor free throw rates, because one aspect of having a good offense is having a lot of good open looks. So you don't get fouled on good open looks, because no one's close enough to foul you. So that doesn't bother me. Beeline's team's never had good free throw rates.
I agree. Yeah. That one doesn't bother me.
Watching that game, and I'm like you, Brian. I'm not alarmed by that loss. Not even the how dialed in they seem to be. Maybe it looks like, or it feels like, there are some things that other teams can do to Michigan to mitigate the effectiveness of X, similar to what Louisville did. And that might be the case. My big takeaway from that was two things. Number one, you got to go to your guy more. Early in the game, they were 2 for 3 on post touches. That was their only offense early in the game. They did a really good job of the looks that they got. Think about the post touch for Colin Castleton. He gets it down there and drops it off. He gets double teamed. He drops it off to Johns, and Johns fumbles it. But still, that was, you talk about quality looks in the first half. They all came through the post. And this is a team that is limited when it comes to guys that can put it on the deck and make plays. X, and if you can keep him off his right hand, most teams can't. But those that can, the only other guy that's going to put it on the floor against heavy ball pressure is Dave DeJulius, and he's still trying to find himself. How do you generate good offensive looks? You know, open perimeter looks. I think it's going to have to come through the post. I think the toughest guy to stop on this roster for Michigan against a good defense is going to be John Teske. And so the problem is he can't get it himself. He can't pass the ball to himself.
Well, the other problem is we've seen when teams double down on him that Michigan has not generated much advantage on
right now. And so that's a great point. And Teske is going to have to grow there.
Yeah.
He is going to have to get to the point where he is comfortable passing out of double teams, because if they start doing that, they start going to him, he start having more success like he had against North Carolina. Guess what? Now you're going to start seeing double teams. Can he function in that way? And another thing, to your point about jumping ball screens and doubling X, when Beilein was here and teams tried to beat, so before Teske,
right?
What I really marveled at is how he used Mo Wagner as kind of like a chess piece as a screener. I mean, you know, he would slip screens, or he would maybe set the screen out high. I talked about this with Tim McCormick.
Mm-hmm.
He maybe set the screen out high and do a short roll, and you could have Mo maybe hit a mid-range jumper or dribble all the way to the rim. You could do different things with a guy that's a versatile screener like that. I don't know if they can do things like that with Teske.
What
they can do, One of the things that Carolina said after the game that was so frustrating dealing with Michigan, he said, man, dude, they run you off so many freaking screens. So they run you off one screen and you think, okay, I defended that well, it's fine. Then they run you back off the same screen the other way. Right. And then they'll run you off the other screen. And it's like Michigan State. Michigan State will run you off of 20 freaking screens on a possession. And you're testing the quality of that hedge. Are you going to keep, you know, hedging as well if you bang them off screens over and over and over again? I think you could do that with Teske. You know, that's one of the things you can do. I'm just not alarmed yet because I feel like this is something as a big man, Juwan Howard is prepared to deal with.
Well, I hope that's right. It's just in this particular game, we seem a little unprepared for it. And
they're coming off three games in 3 days.
No, I understand.
Country,
like, I understand that the
doesn't sound like you understand. Sounds like you're playing it off as absolutely nothing.
No, I'm not saying it's nothing. I just think these things are a little overstated. And
Michigan had 2 days to prepare for Louisville, and Louisville had a month and a half to prepare for Michigan.
I think that's relevant. But I still think there's a cloud that in this game that I think you're going to see other teams try and mirror. Now, will Iowa be able to do it? Probably not, because Iowa doesn't play any defense.
I just think Michigan is going to be remember, we are what? How many games have they played?
Eight
games into the Juwan Howard era. Yeah. I think they are going to be a better post team as we go. Or they're going to be better with John Teske. And if it's not beyond John Teske, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think that a ton of post touches for Teske is going to be the only answer. Like, you need X to be better about finding those pockets where he can throw to. Like, there were a number of examples where Teske rolls, he gets a tagger, and, you know, X doesn't have to throw that pass if he doesn't feel he's comfortable, but he does have to fake that pass and then go to the corner. Because the guy in the corner is Isaiah Livers, who's 6'7 with a quick release, and even if he gets an okay closeout, that's still a good shot. And it was frustrating to me that Michigan wasn't hitting corner threes for hitting guys in the corner for semi-contested threes early in the first half, because those were there. And they aren't the greatest shots in the world, but compared to everything else Michigan was getting. So Michigan will get more comfortable with this approach. They'll get better at doing it, and Pete, nobody's going to execute it like Louisville did.
And Brian's right about that, is I thought when the way they were playing the high ball screen, I felt like we should have had better looks from three than what we ended up with. But we also tended to pass them up. I mean, Eli had a good three that he just passed on.
He did.
David DeJulius later in the game had a good three that he just passed on. And we, you know, when we get an open look, those guys have to take that look.
Wow, I didn't realize it was.
What time is it?
I was giving me the frantic sign. We got to have a break.
Okay.
All right, so we'll get
to
a break.
Should have talked so much football.
Hey, man, we talked way more basketball than football. Yeah, we did.
Point stands.
All right. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios. So, you know, we're talking Michigan basketball, Big Ten action opens up for them. And I know I had a certain perception of the Big Ten heading into the season. It's much different now. You know, I had Michigan State far and away.
Me too.
That doesn't look like it's going to be
close.
I mean, they got a lot of issues. They had a lot of time. They got a lot of time to get right. But what is right for them? Is it championship level? I'm not convinced that it is. Meanwhile, Ohio State is looking like I expected Michigan State to look.
Well, so they have Caleb Weston, who lost 35 pounds, and that makes a big difference.
Yep.
And then you have Carton coming in, playing pretty well. So I think that and Holtman's a good coach.
And yeah, he's a good coach. And they have C.J. Walker from Florida State, who I think is a good ball player. They still have Luther Muhammad. Kyle Young finally seems to have found a spot there. He's a tough guy. He fits well with that team. And you still have the other Wesson, who isn't a bad player either.
But like in the league, it feels like you have four teams that have separated themselves. Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan,
Maryland.
And even like if you look at Michigan State, like have they separated themselves? I don't know. They've gotten blown out by two really good teams. They lost to Virginia Tech. They only beat Seton Hall because of some awful calls down the stretch. So they're like one call away from having like a NIT resume so far.
I would put Purdue in with that group from what I saw last night. I mean, Matt Painter is one of the best coaches in the country, in my opinion, and I think
that's one of the best.
Yeah, I would put him right up there.
If you disregard recruiting, then yes.
Well, yeah, I'm just talking about getting the most out of what he's got on the floor, and last night, anybody who saw that Virginia game saw a team that's really, really, really good.
Hey, we didn't win our ACC challenge game, but we scored more points than Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue can play defense. And when they get any kind of shooting at all, and Stefanovic went, I think, 6 of 10 from 3 last night, that's a good team, a tough team, and there is you know, so I put it as a blanket of 5 right now.
Yeah, but the point is, I didn't think that it was realistic to talk Big Ten title with Michigan this year, and it's still early.
Yeah,
I understand that. They haven't gotten in league yet and met teams that are familiar with the personnel. So I do account for that. Maybe
Carolina may be a stiff,
right?
I do feel
like the combination of experience and more depth than I thought they would have.
Yeah,
puts them legitimately in that conversation.
And the other kind of conversation in the league is that, so we've had these teams kind of separate ourselves. There's a couple of teams kind of trailing them: Iowa, Penn State, and then the rest of the league is horrible. Yeah. Northwestern losing to Maine. You got Nebraska being Nebraska.
Didn't Northwestern have a really good win this last
season? Yeah, they beat the crap out of BC, but, I mean, they're still terrible. You have Wisconsin falling in a hole. Thank you. You know, you have...
Is Brad Davidson still there?
Yeah.
So there's someone for the entire conference to hate.
Well, right. Yeah. At least, so you have... You have like a pretty clear line, like at 7 or 8, and then below that, it's just like it's a debacle. So it'll be a nice battle at the top of the league, and then there's going to be some ugly games.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun. So Iowa. I hate Iowa.
You hate Iowa.
Oh yeah, I always hate Iowa. I'm glad there's no more Tyler Cook. I hate Iowa in both sports. They're a thorn in my side. We need to sit down with Bump. There's no Tyler Cook, so I don't have to worry about him this year. But Luka Garza is off to a good start.
Yeah, Luka Garza has bulked up, and he's still an absolutely awful interior defender.
that's what I said. Let's bang him. Let's bang him around, see if he can defend a ball screen on the other side. Let's make it go.
I mean, he's a muscular guy in the post now, and he gets up a lot of contested stuff and gets it to fall.
He's a good offensive player.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting battle with Teske, but Michigan...
Yeah,
Iowa has some ability. I mean, Wieskamp is a terrific offensive player.
I mean, they have some injury issues, so a couple of guys, Nungi is out for the year.
Is that right?
Yeah, a couple of guys.
They thought Bohannon was going to be out.
Yeah,
he's playing, but not
Pemsel
well.
And one of their starting shooting guard missed the previous game. So if they come in shorthanded, it's going to be a tough road to hoe, I think.
Their fingerprint looks just like last year. Pretty good on offense, terrible on defense.
Yeah.
It's Fran.
Got that in Jay. All right, folks, that'll do it for us here today on the Michigan Insider, another edition of the MGO Blog Roundtable. Appreciate you listening.